Listening to the World Cafe, and we're going to stretch out musically and conversationally with Jim James today. Jim leads the Louisville-based band My Morning Jacket and has recorded in the past as Yim Yames. And now comes the new solo album, Regions of Light and Sound of God. It's a very different approach for James. Today we're going to hear music recorded at the Williamsburg Music Hall in Brooklyn and conversation from Louisville, Kentucky. Trying to ascertain where this new solo venture began, I asked Jim about some time off he took after injuring himself in a fall from the stage at a My Morning Jacket concert back in 2008 in Iowa City.
Yeah, it was. That was definitely the most horrible thing that's ever happened to me, and I feel grateful, I guess, now that I can look back on it with gratitude and having been able to walk away from it. Because there's a lot of things, I guess, you can't walk away from that people have to deal with. But so it was really bad. And
what actually happened? What actually happened?
Well, we were playing in Iowa City, and I stepped off, like, at the end of a song, I stepped off the stage to kind of get onto the subwoofers, which I used to do a lot. There's always, like, the edge of the stage and then a row of subwoofers that are giant that you can stand on, and then the barricade and then the crowd. And but when I stepped out, like, the lights went off and I stepped and my foot just went into nothing instead of onto a speaker. So I fell down into that pit area there and suffered some internal injuries and was out of commission for a couple months. So kind of in that time, before that time, I'd been given the book God's Man as a gift from Gary Burden, who we've done the artwork with for the last several records. And when he gave me the book, I was just had a big, big deja vu experience. Like, I knew the book from somewhere and connected to it deeply. So I'd been kind of, you know, looking over this book and thinking about it and starting to write music to it. Like, music was starting to pop out, and Gary and I were talking about, you know, trying to make it into a film. And so I was kind of going deep down that wormhole, and then I had this accident, and I had a lot of time on my hands because I had to just kind of rest. So I kind of got even deeper into the darkness of the book, I guess, and the darkness I was feeling. So more music kind of started to come out, but luckily, the book has a positive turning point where the main character is rescued and falls in love and all this stuff. And I went through a similar thing. I kind of came out of this horrifically dark time into a beautifully light time, but all in a super complex way, and was super sucked into this book the whole time. So it was like it was all some kind of inverse deja vu or something.
And we should mention that Lindwart's work, God's Man, is a graphic novel, and it's in many ways, I mean, it's a technique that you don't see that much anymore, and that it's all woodcuts, which is very, very, very interesting. Well, tell you what, let's hear some music. What do you guys want to start off with?
Let's start off with State of the Art.
No, no. know you need the dark just as much as the sun, but you sign on forever when you ache it in blood. I use my state of the
AEIOU, as good a place to begin as any. A wonderful tune from the new Jim James album, Regions of Light and Sound of God. That's state of the art. And Jim and this amazing band setting off on a solo tour to perform this music. I have so many questions. Where did the title Regions of Light and Sound of God? It fits the songs, but did it come afterwards or when did it come in?
Thanks. It came somewhere in the middle. Like I had started writing, all this stuff kind of was happening, Well, I guess I started writing stuff for the last My Morning Jacket record around the same time, but stuff was kind of separated off where, like, I felt like the solo record was, I was scoring this book, so everything that was wanting to go to the solo record was pretty confidently wanting to go in that direction, but I was writing a lot of other stuff that ended up turning into Circuital, the last Jacket record, and we were mixing Circuital. Tucker Martin and I were riding to the studio one day, and he misread a sign. And we were just riding in the car, and he said, "Regions of Light and Sound of God." What a beautiful thing to put on a sign. And we both laughed. I was like, "That's one of the most amazing things I've ever heard." And we laughed about it. And I was like, "There's no way. Why would somebody put up a sign that says that?" And we drove around. We went to the studio and kind of forgot about it. But I wrote it down and remembered it, and it kind of became this, not a mantra, but it became this thing that I said over and over again in my head. And as I worked on the God's Man songs, I kind of took the sound of God to be the sound of God's Man, and the whole thing just kind of, and when you're working in the computer, you're working with these regions of light, these little blocks of light you're moving around and stuff. So the whole thing, because I was looking at a lot of songs like a puzzle or like a soundscape, and sometimes I'll work visually if I'm building a wall of sound or something that doesn't have to have any rhythm or anything. I'll sometimes work and make a picture on the screen almost. So the Regions of Light and Sound of God just made a lot of sense.
But it turns out you said you misread it. Did you find out what it actually said?
I think it actually says Religions of the Light and Sound and God.
I talked about there being love songs on this record, but I don't know exactly what this means, but there seems to be a spiritual aspect to this record as well. Are they tied up for you?
Yeah, it's all tied up. I don't know. I feel like a lot of my, whenever I do, I feel like doing interviews are kind of like doing therapy sessions, because you're talking about yourself and you're forced to examine yourself. And I know music for me is a very spiritual and a very religious process. It's something that I feel like takes me to that place where the thinking me is gone. And I really liken that a lot to love, you know, to being in love, those moments in love, you know, just being with a person or making love or talking or whatever, when you're lost in it, you're lost and you're part of a greater moment. And I've always likened love and music together, and since I've got into meditation, I've likened them all to being similar, to where you're transported to a place where you don't really exist anymore, but you exist at like the purest essence of you exists, like on the most basic, beautiful plane. So I feel like I'm kind of always trying to think about what that really means, or what it really is leading us to, or I just think and question things a lot, because I was raised Catholic, and I consider myself a recovering Catholic, because I feel like there's a lot of good principles, but a lot of evil there, and a lot of hate that should never be part of religion, and I feel like I have a big problem with most organized religion, because I feel like there's a lot of exclusion, and it's big business. And not to say that all organized religion is bad, because a lot of good can come from it too, but I think the big business side of it is super scary. So I've tended to retreat from that into a more personal experience, because I think everybody should be free to experience spirituality or religion or whatever you want to call it on their own, without fear of persecution from anybody, you know, to just take it and make it whatever you want to be. And if organized religion is your bag, then so be it. And if it's not, then so be that.
So how long have you been meditating, and what kind of changes have you seen?
Well, I mean, I've been meditating, I guess, for about 3 or 4 years now. And it's a practice. That's what all the best teachers and experts say. And I definitely think about that because it's something that you have to be kind of committed to accepting is a practice. And you're going to have good days and bad days. And, you know, they liken it to learning to play the piano or, you know, learning to do anything. For me, though, it's about kind of what I was talking about earlier, that place of realization where you realize that all living beings at the core resonate at the same mm-hmm. frequency mm-hmm. And resonate at the same place. So I feel like when I'm lost in music or when I'm lost in love or when I'm lost in meditation and I'm living and vibrating at the same frequency that a drop of water is vibrating or a deer or a tree or another human. So for me, it's been kind of a beautiful beginning of looking at the tip of the iceberg of what all that means for me and kind of getting past coming into this beautiful acceptance that these things that the masters have said for years, it's not a bunch of crap. I mean, it's true. Every living being really is the same at the essence of life. So I don't know. When I hear people talk about that, when I think about it, I think about what a wonderful world it could be if people could take the time to sit and realize that, you know, and watch racism decline and watch hate and watch war decline. If everybody could really realize this fundamental fact of life that we're all the same and that that's not some joke or some funny saying, like it's actually true.
And to that end, it's interesting that you pretty nearly quote Martin Luther King on the album as well. And, you know, a human being who's strived for a lot of these things you're talking about. So
yeah, he's one of the most inspiring figures we've seen trying to live that. And I think his story is a beautiful one because he's human, you know. So I think with him, we got to see the human experience in a very beautiful way, you know, ultimately a very sad way, but a very beautiful experience of somebody who was preaching the truth of that, you know, that everybody is the same and everybody deserves the same chances. But yet he's not trying to say that he's perfect or he's got it all figured mm-hmm. out. You know, he was a flawed human and he accepted that. And that's what made him so beautiful.
Jim James is our guest today, and we're hearing some live versions of these solo songs from Regions of Light and Sound of God. And the first song I heard from this, talking about meditation, I just fell into this one, No Till Now. It's just such a wonderful, expansive tune. I'd love to hear what it sounds like live. Can you do that one?
Let's do it.
Thank you.
Jim James and his band, Know Till Now, a song from the new solo album, Regions of Light and Sound of God. We'll have more performances from the Williamsburg Music Hall in conversation with Jim James coming up on The World Cafe. Our guest today, Jim James, is the frontman of My Morning Jacket. His new solo album is called Regions of Light and Sound of God. Jim constructed a new studio at his home in Louisville, Kentucky, to make this record, and I asked him if having that space made an impact on the new album.
Definitely. I mean, I'm just as much in love with the studio and with gear as I am with songwriting or playing guitar or anything, because I feel like it's all so tied in, and you can record. You can record a great song, but record it in a super boring way, or vice versa. So I'm really kind of obsessed with that. And I feel like our place in history right now for pretty much everybody is combining the old with the new. I feel like it's really like, I feel like we're really sitting on the edge of the future, because I don't know, the internet is such a big deal that I feel like we don't even understand yet what we've done with it. I don't think we'll understand what kind of can of worms we opened for a long time. So I feel like with the advent of that, with the advent of computers kind of starting to take over our lives, it's easy to get sucked into the all computer world, and it's also easy to rebel and be retro and say I'm going to hate the computers. But I'm of the mind frame that everybody that I respect and know is kind of embracing both. You know, you can't let the computer take over your life and rule your world, but if you ignore it, you're missing out on innovation that's happening now. I love old microphones and old tube amps and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but I love the computer too, because love it or hate it, it's now, and I don't want to miss out on now. I don't want to be stuck in 1967, because we've already had that.
Good way to put it. How did this album get built? Did it take a long time? Would you have a track and it would sit there and you wouldn't know what to do with it, or did it burst forth?
It kind of all bursted forth, but it took a long time because I didn't really set aside like time to do it or even tell anybody I was doing it. I just did it when I was at home in between tour, or you know what, in between various things that were going on, I would just steal a couple days here and there, a week, and I've just always loved working by myself, and I've always done that ever since I started playing music. But 9 times out of 10, those things I recorded by myself just ended up turning into My Morning Jacket record or what any other projects I might have done. So with this, I kind of started. Just abandoned the idea of making demos and just started making real recordings. And for the My Morning Jacket record, the last one, and probably all of them from here on out, I've kind of made it a point to not do any demos for them anymore and just walk in with an idea that hasn't been worked on very much.
Mm. Do you think this will alter how you work with the band?
Yeah, well, it did. One of the greatest lessons I ever got from anybody we worked with was when we worked with Joe Ciccarelli on Evil Urges, and I had made these crazy demos that were, like, super intense and super plotted out and stuff, and I had a lot of fun doing it, but when we got in the studio, we ran into a lot of traps where I was constantly pulling the demo back up and going, but the demo goes like this, and you know, he kind of pulled me aside, and he's like, man, don't make any demos anymore, because you can invest too much magic into this demo that you worked hours and hours on. And I was like, that's a really, really great point. So ever since that moment, I've kind of been like, I put things in two categories. I'm like, My Morning Jacket is a band, and that's something we want to celebrate and capture. So any recordings we do for that, I'm going to like just record them on my voice memo so I don't forget them, but I'm not going to work on them a lot. I'm going to work on them with the guys and capture that fresh kind of magic. And then anything that's not that, I'm just going to get the equipment that I like so I can start recording things right off the bat and not make any demos anymore.
Directly. I sort of had a question. I was hesitant to ask it, but I'll ask it now. It's about art. And whether it kind of moves in a line and moves progressively, because, I mean, here you do this, solo album. What's that going to do on, you know, affect My Morning Jacket? You know, for instance, if you'd done a Jim James solo album 5 years ago, it probably would have been completely completely different ideas.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just about life, because I feel like life, it's weird, because it's like the old cliche 50% inspiration and 50% perspiration, because I feel like ideas kind of come from nowhere, but then you kind of look at the idea and you're like, well, this came from nowhere, but it kind of reflects how I'm feeling right now. So you take like that inspiration, and then the perspiration part, I guess, is actually recording it and fleshing out lyrics. And I guess that's where the thoughts that are part of you at that moment in time come in.
But I guess part of my question is, does it reflect what you've done in the past, or is it a whole thing?
Oh, definitely. Well, I think it reflects experience for me, at least, because, that's the one of the beautiful things about aging and growing older and stuff is you get experience. You know, that's your reward for having made it or lived that long or whatever, is that you get all this cumulative experience. So I think anybody that does anything, I would hope their past experience would inform what they're currently working on, you know, whether you're building a house or building an album.
Right. Jim James is our guest. Let's do another live one. You mentioned, can you do Dear One?
Yeah, let's do that.
Thank you.
A New Life,
different version of that for us today from Jim James. Jim, thanks a lot. I really keep working. I assume you've already got in your mind what's happening next with my morning jacket.
Yeah, there's lots of bits and chunks piling up in my voice memo vault, so I'm trying to figure it out what's going to be reality.
Well, let's hear it for reality. Jim James, our guest, we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.
Thanks.